You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. Guess what? It is the unofficial, I think it's more official than unofficial, start of Michigan football season. The unofficial was Big Ten Media Days, but fall camp started today. Incredible. We are 1 month away from seeing Michigan football. So we are going to discuss that. We are going to discuss a bunch of other things. I have a series of grievances, so we want to get to all of that, but we'll start off with fall camp talk because I just wrote almost 4,000 words on the depth chart. I know we've covered the depth chart in large, but there are other things that I want to discuss, including a bunch of players that I am really excited to see because there's obviously a lot of freshmen. And it's funny because I don't think that the hype is surrounding the freshman class in the way that it normally is. I mean, there are a few players that obviously we are excited about. We are very excited, of course, about Will Johnson, what he brings to the table. We've been talking about Darius Clements and Derek Moore for some time. But there's obviously a couple others that I am super hyped. Now, the one that obviously stands out, and I don't think I even introduced myself, whatever, you all know who I am. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. Don't know why it took almost 2 minutes to get to that point, but that's where we're at. Distracted because Zuri ran downstairs like a banshee, all excited. Anyway, but there are obviously some people that I am very excited about, like Kenneth Grant, who I think is the mystery freshman, who Jim Harbaugh at Big Ten Media Days last week said is an absolute gift from the football gods, but he wouldn't tell us who. Well, it turned out that mere hours before he met with us, he had discussed Kenneth Grant in particular with Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports. So that leads me to believe that he is probably that guy. And listen, it's at a position of need, right? Interior defensive line, or just defensive line in general. They need some playmakers to step up there. So if he is that guy, then that is super exciting because he just gives you so much more in the interior. If he's, you know, we've expected Mason Graham to be that guy, maybe Derek Moore. And now, you know, as far as young guys, or obviously Rayshon Benny has been the one that's talked about all spring. Didn't get mentioned by Elston when we had him in a media availability. Instead, he mentioned George Rooks. He mentioned Ike Iwuna. He definitely mentioned Dominic Judice, which was kind of surprising when you all of a sudden didn't have Rayshon Benny in there. So if Kenneth Grant can make some noise, that is huge. That is really big. I am excited for some of the guys we did see in spring that just weirdly aren't getting talked about. I forget that Keon Sabb and Cody Jones are even there. And Keon Sabb's a guy that I'm surprised that people aren't more excited about. And I think the reason why is because he finished as a four-star. And I think that that's why sometimes when you pay really close attention to recruiting, it's maybe a good idea to just take a step back. Because Keon Sabb, this time last year, was a five-star, made a secret visit to Ann Arbor from Clemson. And it was, or before he committed to Clemson, and it was like, I remember writing an article about, like, you know, Michigan gets a visit from five-star Keon Sabb and everyone went nuts. By the time he committed, it was like, oh, okay. You know, it's normally that would be huge cause for excitement, and it hasn't been. But I forget about Cody Jones, and he was a four-star. I remember the day he committed the same day as Taylor Graves, who ended up going to Ole Miss. But the duo from Tennessee, you got him, you still got Miles Powell, really all those defensive backs. Super excited to Zeke Berry might be the one I'm most excited about. And that includes Will Johnson. I'm very excited to see what Zeke Berry does. The staff is super excited about Damani Dent. But I think that this is where days like today are the beginning of where you start to forge what your team is about. And remember, there's going to be at least one freshman who makes a big deal, right? And sometimes it might not be the guy you're thinking of. Yeah, we can look at Will Johnson. We can look at Keon Sapp. But what, you know, who's going to be Rod Moore from last year, right? Rod Moore came from out of nowhere. If you would have sat there and wrote down a list of the top 10 guys in the class from 2021 that was going to be an impact player in the season, Rod Moore would have appeared on exactly zero, except for maybe his parents, right? He's not someone that anyone expected. Rod Moore, at the time of his commitment, felt almost like, well, we got, and I can't even remember his name, that's how this works. The wide receiver who ended up flipping to Wisconsin. Yeah, it's in one ear, out the other when it comes to that type of stuff with me, because my tiny little mind can't handle a lot of the info. It can't retain that much. But what, you know, he committed from the same high school in Ohio, and it seemed like, oh, you know, okay, well, they took him. Of course, they're going to take his teammate, and whatever. But there's other guys that maybe we're not talking about that could be impact players. Micah Pollard, you know, he's an NFL legacy type guy. Yeah, and I know he's a guy that Jim Harbaugh was super excited about. No one's really talking about C.J. Stokes, who certainly could come in and be a running back who cements himself as that third back. And we sit there and say, well, there's Tavier Dunlap and Khalil Mullings, and they're doing their thing. And, you know, we didn't really see enough of Donovan Edwards. Yeah, he really helped Michigan put away that Maryland game. But, you know, it was just kind of, you know, he was just kind of there, aside from a Big Ten championship game, just hurling bombs down the field. But, you know, at the same time, remember when Chris Evans, as a freshman, burst onto the scene, game one. He was not the one that everyone was talking about. Now, Steve Lorenz was, and I remember I was working with him, and he was like, yeah, Chris Evans is going to be really good. Of the two, and of course I can remember this name randomly, of the two that people were most excited about that came from that cycle, he didn't end up in the class once it was everything was said and done, but the ones that were committed in 2016, the two from Indiana that were similar, everyone seemed to be way more excited about Keontae Enos. Enos didn't end up in the class. Enos didn't end up, I don't know if he ended up anywhere. Chris Evans broke out immediately game one. So there certainly could be one of those types of players, you know, that really just comes from seemingly out of nowhere in the class. And I want to give you at least the seven. I think that's a good way to go. The seven 2022 commitments who are now with the program that I am the most excited about. So, of course, barely prepared. But here we go. Well, I think the one that I'm probably most excited about outside of Zeke Berry that I think could play a big, big role outside of Zeke Berry and Kenneth Grant, because Kenneth Grant obviously is that guy, is, and we're going to also, we'll add, well, actually, let's do this. Let's just change it up, because I feel like if I just do this, we're just going to be like, well, it's Will Johnson and Derek Moore and Darius Clemens and all the guys we've talked about forever. Let's take a step back and let's do five guys that we haven't really talked about that I think is going to be exciting to watch this year. So we can add Kenneth Grant to that because we haven't really talked about Kenneth Grant before now. We can add Keon Sapp to that, even though we've talked about it. So that's two. We've talked about Zeke Berry before, I think, so I'm not going to include him. Number three is Jimmy Roeldar, because I think that he could be an instant impact guy. And when you hear Jim Harbaugh talk about him, it's just all sunshine and rainbows, and I'm excited to see what happens when he actually hits the field. So there's number three. We've talked about Mason Graham. Micah Pollard is also a linebacker who I feel like could be in that boat. But I'm not going to include him. I'm going to add Damani Dent, another safety, at my fourth selection. I would add C.J. Stokes. I think the other one to be really excited about, again, a linebacker, is Deuce Spurlock. very excited about what he brings to the table. He's one of the lower rated guys in the class, but something tells me with Deuce Spurlock, he's going to be one of those guys in the end that you're like, man, so good. So good. Now his offer sheet, I'm looking at it right now, doesn't represent someone who is ranked, I'm looking at on three, somewhere in the thousands. Who's offered by Auburn, Mississippi State, Boston College. I mean, a lot of these other ones are smaller ones here too, but Washington State. And then you start to get to ones that kind of don't matter that as much, but are still kind of relevant. Memphis, Tulane, USF, Arkansas State, App State, Western Kentucky, Georgia Southern. But still, he had a trio of pretty big offers. Comes from the state of Alabama. He's just a guy that I have a feeling is going to end up being really good. Comes in at, well, as a recruit, 6'2", 220. I'm excited to see the roster update, which I'm assuming is going to happen at any point in time. I think that he is going to end up being really surprising and good. And I remember seeing him in person as a visitor, and just he just looks like a dude. And sometimes that means something, you know? All right, we are going to continue on talking about just fall camp, things that I'm excited about in general, and then we'll get to my grievances here in a moment. But before we do, listen, as you gear up for the fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. And then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, fall camp extravaganza. I can't believe we are a month. We're a week out from the season. I've got a lot of work to do. Although I wonder how much you guys are feeling it. The proverbial you guys, you all out there, ladies and gentlemen. Considering I was talking to my best friend earlier today, and he was saying that he's just not ready to talk about football yet. Which is kind of surprising because it's usually like 2 months out. He's just jonesing. And he's just like, I'm just not feeling it yet. And I wonder if that's kind of the Michigan fan base in general. Just kind of based up, I'm like looking at my page views on Wolverine's Wire, and I feel like it's lower than it is in like March, which is just kind of bizarre. And I'm feeling a little bit, but not to the degree. I'm not ready for summer to be over, you know? Seems like once the season starts, it's like it's cold before you know it, and I'm not ready for all that. I'm ready to be busy, but I'm not ready for summer to be over. Not that I'm doing anything crazy fun. I'm not going out on boats. I'm not doing anything. I'm watching a lot of YouTube. I have a hobby that I'm not going to share. I have my music hobby. The reason I'm not going to mention my other hobby is it would be controversial. If you really want to know, you can ask me on Twitter in my DMs, and I'll tell you. But I'm not ready for summer to quite be over. I like the free time, but I'm still. It's like, yeah, I feel it. Start looking up the schedules. Start looking up everything when it comes to. You know, like that's one of the things my best friend, and we did it today. We start looking up the schedules and being like, oh, that game. I don't get to watch a lot of them, but I still get excited for them, right? I'm like, okay, Michigan scheduled like week two. I'm like, all right, cool. Alabama at Texas. And I'm wearing a Texas shirt today. like Alabama at Texas, week two. I am psyched about that. And it's noon. Michigan plays at 8. I should be able to watch that game. I am super stoked about that. Super stoked. But that's, you know, I'm getting hype when I start thinking about that stuff. But I don't know how about how you guys are. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the about fall camp. So obviously there's a lot that we have to settle here. There's different position battles that we are looking to get figured out here. Obviously, quarterback's number one. All right, let's just go ahead and move that aside. We've talked about that ad nauseum for quite some time. It'll get figured out when it gets figured out. I still think it'll probably be Cade McNamara. And I know it'll upset a lot of people, but listen, if he marches out there week one, starting quarterback, he's earned it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Anyone who sits there and thinks that it's just a political decision by the coaches for them to be like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy's so much better. He's going to give us the opportunity to win a lot more games. But I like the cut of Cade McNamara's jib. I like his smile, I like his hair. Just going to start him anyway. That ain't happening, y'all. It isn't. But there's obviously some others, and they might not be as sexy as the quarterback position. Still got right tackle to figure out. Third string running back. Just the kind of general depth chart when it comes to defensive end or edge rusher. Kind of the same thing, I think, even with linebacker surrounding Junior Colson. I would say safety set, but I saw that I think it was Alejandro de Zuniga went up to Mackinac, hung out with the team, talked to Rod Moore, and Rod Moore says he's about to be in a battle with Makari Page. And cornerback, obviously. DJ Turner, I think, is locked into one position, but is it going to be Mike Sainristil or Jamon Green? Those are all things that need to be figured out. So with that in mind, I think here is what we know for sure. I think this could be instructive. What we know for sure is Blake Corum, and this is, of course, across the board, barring any kind of camp injuries, so that they get through unscathed. I hope it works. This is like a particle board desk, I think. I don't think this is solid wood. The standing desk that I got for like $200, so I'm guessing that it that it's not real wood, but I knocked on it. Blake Corum, I think we know, is the starting running back. Four of the five offensive linemen, I think we can pencil in and say they're our starters. Ryan Hayes, Trevor Keegan, Olu Oluwatimi, and Zach Zinter. Tight ends, we know that they have two starters, Eric All and Luke Schoonmaker. So I think that you've got those things settled on offense. That's a lot of returning talent. And I mean, we didn't even get to wide receivers. Let's pick three: Ronnie Bell, Cornelius Johnson, Roman Wilson. I think that the third one might be a little bit more in question, but Cornelius Johnson and Ronnie Bell. But other guys like Roman Wilson has started, right? Could be Andrell Anthony is that third guy. He's who I had atop my depth chart and my piece today. Defensively, Mike Morris for sure. I want to say Taylor Upshaw for sure, but I'm going to withhold judgment on that position. But Mozzie Smith, Chris Jenkins next to him. Junior Colson for sure. RJ Moten for sure. You know what? I'm actually going to go ahead and say Nakai Hill Green for sure as well. DJ Turner for sure. So there's not a lot of positions that are, and like a lot of these other ones, I think that we can pretty much deduce who is probably going to be there, right? You can sit there and say, all right, you know, we think that Trente Jones is going to win. Like, I think Cade McNamara is going to win. I think Trente Jones is going to win. I think Taylor Upshaw is going to win. Wouldn't surprise me if Brad McGregor made a play. I think it's going to be a platoon between Michael Barrett and Michael Barrett and Kalel Mullings. But could a Jaden Hood come out of nowhere? Absolutely. Remember, Nakai Hill Green at this point in time last year, none of us thought of him as a starter. Then George Hilo comes out and says, oh, yeah, we got Nakai Hill-Greens. He's a starter. And we're like, what? You know? So these things can get figured out. Rod Moore, I assume, is going to beat out Makari Page, but wouldn't be surprised otherwise. As far as that other cornerback, I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of three people. If it's Sainer Steele, Jamon Green, or Will Johnson, that's probably the order that I'm going with. We know special teams is set pretty much, except for the returners. I assume A.J. Henning's going to be your main returner. But that's a lot of surety at this point, right? When you've still got you got a full month. They've had one practice so far. It's in the books. They did it this morning. While most of y'all were at work and I was still just kind of slowly rising like a mummy, as I do in the mornings, they were already kind of wrapping it up. But they're certainly, you know, would it surprise you if suddenly Cam Good, the UCF transfer, makes some noise? Would it be surprising if any number of players, you know, if one of those freshmen just comes in and does something? Jimmy Rolder just comes out and looks awesome. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Kenneth Grant, I can't keep him off the field. So there's a lot of things that can happen that can change. All right. We are going to move on because I have a couple grievances. They're rivalry related. So I want to get to those momentarily. But I have one particular thing that I want to dispel here. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, two things here to top segment three. Number one, get your questions in for the mailbag. I put a very late call. The day has kind of gotten away from me for questions for the Thursday mailbag. And with that in mind, with Michigan starting fall camp, we are in season mode, which means that we are going to, it might not be mornings like we're aching to get back to once the season starts. That'll make my life a lot easier if I could figure that out. We're going to get back to some sense of normalcy, and that means every day. That's why we kind of doubled up on things last week, took a little bit of the break after all of the travel and Big Ten media days and all of that. But we're coinciding with fall camp. We're back in the thick. So as long as we have something to talk about, we will have a podcast. That's just how it's going to roll from here on in. That is the goal. I am a sound mind, not quite sound body. I have a messed up back right now. But if you're of sound mind, that counts for half of things. The mystery illness seems to have been mitigated by antibiotics. So aside from a little bit of a scapula issue, we're good to go. That is the goal. With that in mind, I also want to announce that probably starting next week, Wolverine's Wire show that I did last year, Morning Drip, will be rebranding as The Drip, and we will be back doing little 5-minute videos for that too. So look forward to that. Little micro doses. This is the full meal. That's a snack. All right. We've got about 6 minutes max left here. So let's talk about some of my grievances. So I'm sure many of you have seen the videos. Some of them were here on the podcast, but there's some others that I have put out there into the stratosphere. I actually put some on TikTok, which I rarely post on. And my Jim Harbaugh on the Ryan Day third base video in particular has gotten a lot of views, gotten like 18,000 views. I think the most I had before that was like 1,600 on a random video. Most of my videos of Zuri have gotten like 300. So if y'all care about Jim Harbaugh and some rivalry pettiness, for sure. But there's a lot of comments that I've gotten there and on YouTube and all these kinds of places where you get all these Buckeyes that are like, enjoy it. You're about to get smacked in November. You're just about, like, Buckeyes are going to beat the tar out of you. It's like the, you buy 100 thing? Yeah, guess what? That's on now. Now we're angry. Now, that's one of those narratives that has continued throughout the offseason. It's like, well, now the Buckeyes are out for revenge. But, and you think Michigan wasn't out for revenge all of those years? And they're just like, well, geez, shucks. We're gonna give it our college try. We are in college, after all. No. Michigan actually approached the game with enough talent and smarts from a coaching standpoint and execution that they won the game. It's not going to be like, I think it's ridiculous. That's just like, well, you had your 1 year. Good luck from now on. The way that Ohio State beat Michigan, I know Ohio State fans do not know this writ large. The reason why Ohio State beat Michigan the way it did the last few years that they played, but aside from last year, of course, is because of the Don Brown issue that we have talked about on this podcast ad nauseum. We're the ones who broke that on this show. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just, I don't know, go back to my podcast from like 2019, late 2019, early 2000s, or 2020, whatever. So that's one thing, because it's like, well, they're going to, like, listen, I say on the podcast all the time, play the games for a reason. Michigan has finally, quote, fixed the glitch. And will they win against Ohio State? Time will tell, right? I understand why Ohio State's the favorite. Kind of annoys me because every other team, Penn State's still coasting off their 2016 championship game. Right? They're still coasting off their one win against Ohio State in the James Franklin era. One. They have one win. And it's like, oh, when Penn State and Ohio State get together. Yeah, oh, guess what? Ohio State wins like 8 out of 9 times. So why does Penn State get that benefit of the doubt that with Ohio State? Michigan doesn't. Second thing is this new thing I see is the non-conference schedule. You see this from Ohio State fans, Michigan State fans. I understand. Ohio State, guess what? Congratulations. You finally have, I mean, actually Ohio State tends to have a pretty good non-conference, but every couple years they don't. Every couple years they have a weak non-conference schedule. Yes, they do tend to schedule some pretty good teams. They played Oregon last year. They lost to Virginia Tech, surprisingly. There's a lot of games like that they tend to have. Michigan State, I'm pretty sure that a lot of Michigan State seasons are garbage. Michigan hasn't had an FCS team on the schedule since, I mean, it's been a long time. Been post the horror. But it's been a long time. Y'all, Michigan State fans, y'all played an FCS team last year. Come on, get over it. Yes, you played Miami. Congratulations. Michigan played Washington. No, Washington wasn't that good, but that's the whole point. This year, non-conference schedule, yeah, it's garbage. Fine, who cares? I think it's great for this, the way that this team shapes up. Still have the 9 Big Ten games, number one. Number two, looking back, last year Michigan played Washington. Michigan didn't have a non-conference schedule in 2020, but if it did, it would have played at Washington. 2019, it played Notre Dame. And I'll also add Army to that, because Army is always difficult to prepare for. 2018, it also played Notre Dame. 2017, it not only played Air Force, which is, again, a difficult team to prepare for, but it played Cincinnati, which still wasn't quite that, but it did it after playing Florida. 2016, Michigan had a little bit more of an easier non-conference, but it still it had Colorado on it. Colorado ended up being a heck of a lot better than anyone thought. 2015 and played Utah. Also played BYU. Also played Oregon State. Essentially 3 Power 5 programs. So it's hot garbage when people say Michigan doesn't play. It's like, oh, they act like this is a yearly thing. No, 1 year. Happens every now and again. I think UCLA was on the schedule and it got canceled. And I think next year, I don't remember when it starts up being really good again, but it's got a minute. All right. We are running out of time. So that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with the mailbag to get your questions in. Thank you for watching and or listening. We will be back on Thursday. We're back in it. Season's a month away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.